Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, filth, we're just popping in at the start of the episode to let you know about our live shows coming up. We've got two of them.
When are they, Ben?
Well, one's in Melbourne and it's on July the 13th at 7 p.m.
I said, when are they?
Oh, the second one's in Sydney. It's on July 21st at 4 p.m. at the Lansdowne Hotel. You can buy tickets for those at filthycasuals.com.au.
Didn't ask you that.
Well, cut that back. Cut it out.
I was also in the room during this plug. Morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me as always...
Hey Tommy, it's Ben Vanell here. With us as always.
It's Adam Knox, the Ross and Rachel of the group. Will I jack myself off or won't I?
Thankfully, you're on a break at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, what does that make me and Ben?
One of you would be, I guess...
Thank God Ross is already taken.
Phoebe and Joey would be a pair, and then I guess Monica and Chandler are just the other two.
Okay.
Definitely Monica, yeah. Me,
big
Chandler,
time.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't they have to be grouped?
You've
so
got to
by
be
being Monica, you've got to be Chandler as well.
Oh, right.
But you're pretty sassy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Could I be any more Monica?
Yeah. Could that sign be any less straight on the wall? Tilt it up. Yeah. It's driving me crazy.
So that makes me
Phoebe and
Joey. And Phoebe.
You're a dumb weirdo.
Yeah. An airhead root rat who loves eating.
Yes.
Classic.
You make a lot of jokes that now kind of don't hold up in today's progressive society.
To be fair, we all do.
Yes.
Everyone, except for me, I guess. And I don't know if I really made that many jokes at all as Ross and Rachel.
Yeah.
You could, oh, but kind of, because you've got the lesbian ex-wife. And
yes,
the whole time you're like, God, I'm an idiot for having a lesbian ex-misso.
And at
how
my wedding,
dumb can you be?
At yes, my wedding, I said my own name.
That's great. Hey, bit of an update for regular listeners might remember this. We're recording at your house, Adam.
Yeah.
And you talked a long time ago on the show about tripping over in the dark over one of those benches downstairs.
Yeah.
And we made a lot of fun of you about that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just drove my car into one of them.
Yes. A vehicular trip.
Now, so there's like these weird parking.
A road trip.
Yeah.
Very good.
Great movie. There's these weird, like, kind of parking spaces in your building that are kind of in a thoroughfare, but they're not really marked as spaces. There's no curb.
They're sort of meant to be visiting or, like, drop-off kind of spaces.
Yeah, but they're weird because you just kind of pull into this area where it looks like you're not meant to be able to park.
And it kind of is unclear whether it's two or three cars that can fit in there.
Yes.
Depending on the size of the car, but there's no markings.
Yeah.
Other than signs that say you can park here.
And the benches line up along where those parks are.
Yeah.
So I was doing a bit of a reverse job, but with no curb to guide me.
Yes.
I'll tell you what guided me.
Oh.
A large crunch on my back passenger door.
Oh, so, well. Shame that your car is now bad.
Yep. Yep.
I guess I'm
team you now.
Yeah, I'm the last man standing.
Yeah.
For now, you'll be the third man lying. The name of my new play, The Third Man Lying. It's unbearable. It's slow and dull. It sounds like a play name.
Well, we've escalated because you tripped over one.
Yep.
I've backed my car into one.
Well,
so Ben's going to like crash a jumbo jet into one or something.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That blimp of yours that you fly around in is going to come up a real mischief.
Yeah, it's dark and stupid out there. There's not enough lighting for the area.
It's dark and stupid out there is my play.
Yeah, it's those little things in the middle of the road. They're meant to stop cars from going where they shouldn't, and I guess they do.
Yeah.
But they should be visible.
Mm. Pop a little light on them or something.
Chuck a little light in there. Just a little more lights, because it's kind of like a weird street,
yeah.
But it's like a driveway also, sort of. It's strange.
You should join the, what is it, what do you, like the body corporate? What's the thing that, like, if you live in an apartment building, you can, like, get on the, you know, you can get on the board and make some changes?
The tenants' union association.
Yeah.
Get involved, Adam.
No, but I think, like, there is a body corporate and whatever, but I think those sort of things only happen in, like, Fraser-level apartment buildings.
This is a pretty big building, though. You'd have some kind of...
It's big, but it's also, like, get out of my face. Do you know what I mean? It's the attitude of the body corporate.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. You pay your money, you shut up.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's not true. They've got weird rules about some stuff, but, you know.
Like what?
No guns. I was just practicing the other day in here. Into a safe into a target. Safe. Yeah, into. I'm planning a heist. As are you, Tommy, from the looks of you.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. I want to do a quick fashion report on Tommy.
Yeah, let's
here.
Do it.
Let's absolutely go, do it.
Tee off, boys. I'm ready. I can take it. I'm thick-skinned.
All right.
I can handle a good roasting.
Let's start with your shoes. It looks like they're a brand called Adsum.
No, they're Reeboks.
Yeah, they right. Reeboks. It does say Adsum on them, though.
They did it's a collab with a fashion label called Adsum.
Right. Well, I would say you need to add some taste to your fashion.
Oh, okay. Fucking got hell.
You. Or subtract the shoes.
Yep. Your socks, they suck.
Yep. No argument there.
It's hard for a sock to suck, but boy, those.
They're sort of like black and white Tetris, old fashioned Soviet style, except that was like green and black, I guess.
Did you come dressed themed appropriately, Tommy?
Boy, I cannot wait for you guys to be subjected to this.
We're getting up to the top part is where we're trying to get to. Yes. So your jeans, they're cuffed quite high. You've got a lot of skin showing between the sock and the jean. And to be honest,
I don't mind that, I have to say. That's my favorite part so far.
Finally, something you're into.
It's pretty modern, but you're going to look stupid in photos in the future.
Yep.
Yes. Your jacket, it's brown. It's something that Larry David may wear.
I've worn this before and you've made that exact same. No.
Have I really?
It was about David Letterman. Being dressed by Kanye.
Kanye.
And not wanting to look like an old man.
Yep. You still look like you would Letterman dressed by Kanye today.
Which is also the Larry David look. Simple, plain, dull.
Two bald, hilarious people.
Yeah,
I'm
true.
Fine with this.
Yeah.
Shirt, white, t-shirt, easy.
Favorite color.
It's got a little hidden detail on it.
Oh, what does it say?
It's a big print on the back.
It says the looks, which is what you'll be getting from people thinking, wow, what a dull guy.
This is fucked.
Yeah.
I wish people could see what you're wearing while you're teeing off like this. The gall.
And then up the top, beanie, grey beanie.
Yeah.
Not fooling anyone.
It's cold.
Yeah. It's called a watch. They're called a watch cap. Those ones.
Is that really called a watch cap?
Yeah, it's called a watch cap. If you're buying one on the internet, it's called a watch cap.
Okay, if you're returning one to a shop because it looks terrible, you'd say, I want to bring back this awful watch cap.
Yes, yeah.
I don't actually hate any of what you're wearing.
No.
But what we're trying to get to is the brand new glasses.
Yeah.
You've gone for specs.
Very clear frames.
Yeah.
Not even very
clear. As you can get.
Yeah. It's either clear or not, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that so that people, it's like to sort of slowly introduce yourself to glasses. You start with transparent frames.
Oh, right.
Later on, you'll get, you know, some opaque ones.
Right. Then by the end, I don't even have see-through lenses.
Yes,
I'm just wearing like a big black
sunglasses
bit of plastic
is
over
what
my
that's
head.
Called. Yes. Like the opposite of a Back to the Future photo where your glasses are slowly fading in.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the fourth stage is the Kanye glasses with like the shades, the shutters.
So cool.
They went away pretty quickly, hey. Yes. They came and went.
You still see them every now and then. You'll be in like a chemist or whatever. Or like at a shitty market, and there's like some guy just like, nah, they're still popping off. Anyone interested?
Do you want to see less? No, sir. So yeah, you've got new glasses now.
Yeah.
How do you feel with them? Is this the first time you've ever had glasses?
Yes. I got them. I picked them up yesterday. And
how did you find the shop?
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Can I use that?
Absolutely not.
When I went and picked them up.
How did you find the shop?
From the fish and chip shop. Went into the wrong place to start with.
Walked across that like girder that was lifting up in a construction site.
Yeah. When I went into the shop.
Just dodging pianos falling.
Here's attempt number 4. When I went into the shop.
Yes.
Go on.
Oh, fuck. Now I don't want to tell the story. They give them to you and they go, she goes, to start with, things will look worse as your eyes adjust.
Right, and then you say, like, thank you for...
What's the fucking point of this?
Yeah.
You said to the lamp.
Yeah. So I do still feel, I feel a bit weird with them on.
Right.
Because my eyes are getting used to them.
It looks a little strange at first. I go periods of time where I only wear contact lenses for a few days. And then if I go back to the glasses, the prescription in them is slightly different, or just like the shape of the lens or whatever. The experience of wearing glasses versus contact lenses is different enough that it feels like everything is either a bit zoomed out or zoomed in.
Right. I'm getting zoomed in. I was walking to a gig last night and every time I looked at the ground, it looked really close.
Yeah.
That was kind of freaking me out.
You clearly couldn't see the mirror on the way out today.
No, that's the end of the
report. Go back to your clothes.
That's the end of the fashion report.
Now that took you too long. You were working on that for too long for that to be a real run on the board, I have to say.
It's just a single. It's not a 4. It's okay. Just a single.
Yeah. It's good. Like, you know what tipped me off was being in Europe and noticing, like, walking around a lot and just squinting all day to see street signs and train timetables, which I guess when you...
I would love it if that was just because they were in, like, French. Yeah. You couldn't read. You're like, I can't fucking read anymore.
It's jumbled up. I don't know what this means.
It's all these, seeing all these apostrophes and shit everywhere, sometimes on the top of letters. I'm going blind.
I think I need to get my hearing checked as well.
I genuinely... that's the next move, is getting my hearing checked. I think I need a hearing aid. I found out last night from someone that they're Bluetooth now. So... You can just jack your music into them. They can replace your headphones. I'm like, that rules.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I've got Bluetooth, the AirPods.
And that's not a hearing aid.
No, I know, but I'm just going to say, like, because of Bluetooth, my phone, when it's in my pocket, is far enough away from my head because I'm tall enough that in busy areas, they'll drop out.
Oh,
because
right.
The Bluetooth connection isn't strong enough because it thinks I'm in like another room.
Okay.
Because of my height, which isn't a crazy height. I've got a regular height. Mm-hmm. I wear my pants normal level of low.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is extremely.
You're one of those homies.
No, I don't. But yeah, it's really annoying, and I don't know if maybe I've got some busted ones.
No, you've talked about this off mic with me before and your theory was like walking past other people that have AirPods that
Bluetooth
are like the same height or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
No, just it's busy area, like intersections in the city
stations.
And stuff
I've
like
had
that.
It happen at stations. I think it is when there's too many other people around.
And
because I've never
traffic
had
lights, I think, have some sort of wireless thing.
Interesting.
And maybe because if I go near a traffic light, there's like this weird clicking in my ears. And then sometimes it'll go, and I don't know if that's...
Is that not just the song that you're listening to? That could explain.
No, yeah, it does happen. It drops in and out. And I think it's actually not the traffic lights, but the cars parked at the traffic lights that make it go and drop out because they've all got Bluetooth in them now.
So I had a theory because I'd never had that happen. Mm. But when I was traveling around Asia recently, I had it happen a lot.
Right.
And so my theory was I was experiencing it there because on average, shorter people.
Same head height.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Maybe.
Now,
interesting.
I'd love to get Dr. Carl onto this and find out, is this actual science or just plain racism?
But I don't think that it's happening because of my height, because I'm taller than plenty of people. There are plenty of people who are the same height as me, but I don't think that it's people at my exact level.
But
I think
you don't
it's
have
the
it
distance.
Happen all the time.
And if I put my phone in my backpack, nothing. Same.
Put
fine.
Your phone in your backpack?
It's good.
What's wrong with your pocket?
Yeah.
Because my pocket is too far away from my head. And if I put the phone in my backpack, it's close enough to this Bluetooth earphones.
You're like a dinosaur where its brain's so far from its tail, it doesn't feel pain.
It takes a while for it to wag.
Yeah.
That's it. If I put the Bluetooth speaker in my backpack,
yes,
then the problem is solved. because it's close enough. And if I hold it in my hand while I'm crossing a street, then it's also fine. Yeah.
Anyway, you're wearing a grey hoodie and slippers like a fucking slob.
Yeah, because I'm in my house after a hard day of work. In out, how to make jokes about your glasses.
In the lab.
You did tell me, Nox, you've started using your watch to take voice memos for jokes.
Yeah.
Are they all just clothes roasts?
Yeah.
You're just practicing them on people at your place of work.
I want to be the Jeff Ross of only clothes. I was trying to think of another word for clothes, but
fashion?
Nah. Wardrobe. Attire.
Okay.
Maybe I could make a joke about attire.
Mm-hmm.
The guy walking around, like, reading bits into his watch is such a bleak.
If I've got a quiet moment.
Such a bleak image.
If I've got a quiet moment where I'm at work, where I'm far away from people and I have to stand in the same place, that's
but
where
if I was doing that and someone caught me, I'd kill myself.
Absolutely.
Is this something?
But what you do is you hold it up close enough to your mouth that if someone comes up, it looks like you're just wiping away a food stain.
With your watch.
Like, normal for him.
Using your watch as a napkin.
Yeah.
Well, the people who disliked us talking about how long it takes to get to the airport last week must be loving this.
Yes. How long it takes to get to the start of this podcast.
Mm.
About too long in
4.5 hours from my house is how I want to be, because I want to be at the start of the podcast pretty early.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be in that podcast lounge.
I like to cut it pretty fine.
You really do. And I got here bang on time.
Mm.
So it's the same as the airport.
Yeah, I guess it's our personalities.
I guess so.
It's been a short week in news. I just want to let you know. Mm-hmm. Regular length of the week, but there hasn't been a lot of news. We're short on news.
Mm.
What do you boys think of the first look at Netflix's The Witcher?
I haven't seen it.
It's just images.
Oh,
it's
the photos? Images. Yeah, right. Yeah. I have seen those photos then. Yeah. Henry Cavill is distractingly good looking.
Okay.
I heard Jessica Biel complain once. I was sitting in a restaurant behind her.
Yes.
No, like Jessica Biel got made fun of heaps for complaining that she was too attractive to get a bunch of different roles.
Right.
Because, she was too good looking to play whatever they wanted, mm-hmm. is what they said. And everyone was like, you're so up yourself. But I can see it applying to Henry Cavill here.
He should be complaining because it is distracting.
He looks
look
weird.
I need to go in for a deeper look at this.
Like, he looks like a model doing cosplay or something.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they've dressed up a mannequin with the Geralt costume.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm not super into the look of it, but also who cares? Possibly.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. If he's a good actor or if the script is good enough.
Yeah.
Which I'm still skeptical about.
I don't really know who is involved in the production of any of that side of it, to be honest.
I feel like it was someone who was known.
I reckon that's a good shot. But also, like, promo images always look more sterile than the actual finished product. And these do look like they've told the actor, hey, look over there and look pensive.
Yeah, yeah. They're very sort of airbrushed and unreal looking.
Totally. They look like they are in costumes.
Yes.
Ciri and Yennefer look fine.
Yeah.
I don't know those actors, but they look like TV versions of those characters.
Okay, so the showrunner, the writer and the director.
Yeah.
Her name is Lauren Schmidt-Hissrich.
Okay.
She has written for The West Wing.
I liked that show.
And produced and written for Parenthood, Private Practice, Daredevil, The Defenders and Umbrella Academy. That got worse and worse as it went on, in my opinion.
Umbrella Academy did?
No, that list of credits.
Like right.
West Wing, fantastic, known for its good dialogue and drama. Was The Defenders the Marvel
Netflix
team up?
Netflix Avengers, yeah. I wasn't into any of the Netflix shows, Marvel shows though, really. And
neither.
I haven't seen Umbrella Academy, but I heard okay things.
I heard okay things on sort of like a CW superhero show, like Gotham level of show.
That's the thing. It's hard to tell how good, because people get really into it, like Arrow and whatever. Mm. But then if you watch a bit of it, you're like, oh, I don't enjoy this.
I just recognize these characters from comics and video games that I like.
But yeah.
I don't.
I was watching Daredevil for a bit and convincing myself at the time, this is good.
Yeah.
And then I just, You know, you realize you've just stopped watching it one day and never gone back. And you realize 3 months on, you're like, I guess I wasn't really liking that at all.
You just,
and also, I can't remember a single thing about it.
You told that show you're going out to buy cigarettes. And you just kept driving.
Well, Netflix has now for all of them.
Yeah.
It's just kept on trucking because they're all dead.
Have they cancelled every single one of them? They just put out new Jessica Joneses, right? But is that it?
I'm pretty sure that's been canned as well, yeah.
Fair enough. Marvel probably wants those characters back to do something real with them, I guess, as they move on from all the Avengers characters.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm still relatively optimistic about it.
Well, I said this in our group. I'm really excited for this show because it's either going to be really shit, and that's interesting to me, or it'll be good. And that's great. I want that.
And I don't necessarily doubt Henry Cavill's acting ability. He was all right in Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Which is the only thing I've seen him in other than Superman. He was in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah,
I never saw that.
I saw that. He was like fine, but he was in that. He was co-lead with Armie Hammer, who is kind of also this blandly attractive guy.
What a fucking ridiculous name. Every time I hear it, I'm like, you must be wrong.
Well, because he's
you must have mispronounced that man's normal name. Do you mean Arnold Hamer?
He was in The Social Network as the Winklevoss twins.
Oh, yeah.
Which it's like when you say Armie Hammer is playing the Winklevoss twins. Like, did you get that in the wrong order? Yeah. Or?
Call an ambulance.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's out this year, hey.
I don't know.
I think it's out in like November or something.
Because they put that stuff out and they tweeted about it. Netflix tweeted about it. And I thought, oh, here we go. There's a release date.
Yeah.
But there's nothing mentioned in there. And if they're only just putting out an image... a couple of images now and not a trailer or anything, that would suggest that it's still a way off. It'll be fun to talk about on this when it comes out because, like, I'd be interested to watch it not having an attachment to the game,
just
going in clean. But then if it's not out for a bit, I may well have gotten around to playing the game.
First episode will likely be out at the end of 2019 or likely on November the 1st, and it's meant to be by the end of 2019.
What do you mean? Where are you getting this from?
I've got the same
information. Internet. Where do you think I'm getting it from looking
at my
phone?
What's this source? Is this Netflix going, I'll likely be out
November
1st? Dear
Henry. Well, no, just by the first episode will air at the end of 2019, and based on when Netflix puts their stuff out, it'll probably be November 1st.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, right.
So it wasn't me who was the dumb idiot, Tommy. How about you use those glasses to look right here at my middle finger?
Oh, he's giving me the thumbs up.
more out apparently at Comic-Con, which is in like a couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It could be fine, but I'm also, I don't particularly give a shit about a Witcher series either way is a weird thing.
The game does the story well enough that it's not like, oh, they're finally going to make an awesome fiction
out
of this.
It was the side parts of that game that were more interesting. Yeah. The main thrust of the story was...
it's pretty generic.
Yeah, or at least less engaging than the little side bits and the experience of being out there in the world. Mm. And I don't want a serialized TV show where it's little side bits either. So I don't know if what I like about that game, 3 in particular, like the other two, I haven't really had as much. But I don't know if it translates to TV at all.
But then if it's like a Buffy, where it's like Monster of the Week, overarching story, and it's written by someone who wrote for The West Wing,
maybe
that's good.
It could be cool.
Maybe.
Yeah. I saw a funny tweet today. Would you guys like to hear it?
Here we go.
It was... saying that filming is taking a very long time because Henry Cavill keeps accepting too many side jobs.
Now
it's taking them ages to get.
Now
what you've done. Now I don't get it. I haven't played the game.
That's pretty much it. You'll play when it comes to Switch.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It might be dog shit. Who knows?
It will be not as good port, 100%.
Of course, it'll be scaled down.
If Bloodstained can't run properly on the Switch, then how can The Witcher 3?
The question of whether Bloodstained can or can't run properly on the Switch, though, like maybe it can, but they haven't. I think they've just fucked it.
Like plenty of stuff can run fine on it.
Yeah.
They just did a bad job of handling it.
Mm. Yeah.
That will be interesting because I do think you can make a serviceable port. You've just got to be, I think it the ones that really work are where the team has gone, this is what we have to prioritize above all else.
Yeah.
So I think Mortal Kombat 11 is a good example. Not that I've played it, but from everything I've heard, it's like, yes, it's scaled down and everything.
I saw a tweet about Mortal Kombat 11.
They kept the frame rate consistent. They were like, right, it's got to be smooth. The frame rate's got to be consistent. So we'll lose some textures, we'll lose some detail.
Yeah.
But the most important part for the experience of just playing the game is that it's fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And
the strange
if you're
thing
clear
with
about that, then...
With The Witcher 3, though, I don't think you need to necessarily be that fluid. You can be, like, hovering around 30 and be fine. As long it's the view distance and it's the detail in the world that made the impact.
Yeah,
to me.
It's like the chickens running around and, like, all the little nice-to-have things in a
the
port.
The trees blowing in the wind and all that sort of stuff. That's,
the sun's, like, it is the environment. It's the richness of the environment that makes
okay,
that.
Well, then none of that's going to be there. And
it looks
be
like they're
port.
Just dropping the resolution heaps, though, is what their answer is.
Yeah,
which, who gives a shit? Like, to cram it onto the Switch, that's probably what you need to do.
Sure.
Put every game everywhere.
Yeah. Mm. And play it on the PlayStation if you really, really want to.
Or a PC, a good PC, or the Xbox One X.
Oh, yeah.
The most powerful console in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, who knows? In terms of other news...
There's some Cuphead DLC coming that got pushed back to next year.
Oh, right.
And they...
Yeah, did they announce this DLC like fucking ages ago?
A little while ago, I think,
right.
And they put out a new little trailer for it and sort of said, yeah, it's been delayed.
Mm.
But they said it in the way where they're like, yeah, you know, it's to avoid, you know, overworking the team and everything.
Oh, they've whipped that one out, have they?
I kind of love now how that's become like, and great. Like,
and probably,
that being the reason.
Probably
great.
True. Like, it is probably true.
Of course.
That's the
reason. It's the new, like, white knighting thing of like, we also care about our employees.
I don't think it's that good of a look, though, for them to go like, we were intending to make them work so hard that it would come out more than 6 months earlier than
this. And we planned it so poorly that was going to have to happen.
Yeah.
So now we've kind of, like, they have fucked up. Like, if you're looking at it like a project management standpoint,
they failed. We're worried about these guys talking to the media, so we've given them a few days off.
Yeah.
And the game's running late. Take it up with, that would be great. It's like, so if you're annoyed about the delay, take it up with these guys and then just publishing all their details at the end of the video.
Absolutely happy for things to take as long as they need to, though.
For sure.
Personally. Yeah, yeah. Like, there's plenty of games. We can slow down a bit. The world's in such a rush now.
There are so many games. There's so many games that I want to play much more than I have.
Mm.
Yeah.
Specifically, a certain game that came out within the past week.
What could this possibly be?
What are you
Judgment.
I was going to look up. I realized it would take me too long to look up like 2019 in video gaming Wikipedia article and pick the funniest game that came out this week to say that you wanted to play. But if I were able to postpone the end of my sentence for long enough that I were
because
able to
put enough work in already.
That I were able to put in such a crazy Hail Mary of a attempt at humor here.
The DLC of this sentence has been delayed.
I'd probably tell you that you wanted to play.
This guy's under crunch right now.
MotoGP 19. There haven't been any very funny games come out lately.
That's not a bad one. Cop that, Ben.
Wow.
You MotoGP loving little fuck.
You like motorbikes.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
I'm so uncool.
You're dumb. You like motorbikes from this year.
Yeah.
You fucking flog. You're a flog, mate.
Oh, don't call me a flog.
You're an absolute flog.
I get that all day at work.
Yeah, Super Mario Maker 2, that's what you mean, right?
No, I played Judgment.
Oh, right.
Weren't you going to play that, Adam?
Yeah, I didn't have time.
Great.
I really want to play it, too.
It's an epidemic across the industry. Everyone's out of time.
I know, I didn't want to crunch myself into playing it. It is in that PS4 over there.
Oh.
But to no avail.
I'm kind of tempted to go over there and hit the eject button and just verify this statement.
Do it right now.
I promise you it's in there. Do it.
Okay.
But only if you hit the eject button and not the power button.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah. The eject button is on to the right of the eject power button, I think. Well, and it's it's on the left side.
Which this one?
Yeah, and then to the right of the right button.
The right?
The correct button. Push the correct button. This is hot content.
Something.
Oh, I hear ejecting noises. Look at that, you son of a bitch. You read the name on that fucking disc there.
Ah, now snap it in half.
You tell me what you saw.
I can confirm that it was the disc for Judgment.
And I haven't played it.
He hasn't played it.
But it is installed.
Adam, I'd like to formally apologize.
Thank you. Hey, I'd like to...
To Ben... For wasting his time.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you. Yeah, I did play Judgment. I've played about 2 hours of it.
Okay.
It is exactly the Yakuza games.
Cool.
It's the same combat. It's the same interface, the same font, same graphics as the most recent one.
Six?
Yeah. Song of Life? Cup of Life?
Yeah. Yeah. Yakuza!
But yeah, it's if you've played any of those, don't go thinking, oh, they've made like a sideways movement into a different genre and it's going to look and feel different as well. It looks and feels exactly the same.
Right.
But it's really good.
And you're a private detective now.
You're a private dick. Voice? Any comment?
We'll edit something in later. Okay. I'll just send you a file when I get home, Adam, and you can just drop that in. Nice. I'll have a bit of a think on the drive.
We'll workshop afterwards and then we can all sort of put a group joke in.
What a great thing that would be to listen to. Just anytime someone says anything, everyone just leaves a pause. Yeah. And then it's like the recording quality varies wildly. Yeah. That's what she said, just from recording inside a bathroom.
Private dick, you normally make your dick pretty public, Ben. You're a marshal. I hope that edited in well enough.
Yes, thanks for that, our writer's room for that one.
So it's good?
It's really good so far, yeah. You play a character who's still like attached to the Yakuza in some way.
So were you like a lawyer for the Yakuza back in the day? Is that the setup?
Basically, right. Yes. You're a defense lawyer, so you were getting off, I'm assuming, members of the Yakuza.
And just leave a pause here pause so I can edit something in later.
Boy, I'm going to be pretty busy on this drive home cooking up gold.
Getting off Yakuza, Tommy will be an expert at this game then.
A big tattoo of cum on his back. We edited that one in.
If you fail at a job, they cut off the end of your dick.
Yeah.
There you go.
I moved the mic way too close to my mouth then and it was clipping like hell. But that's because we edited it in later always.
Yes. Yeah, you're like you were a lawyer for the Yakuza. Mm. Something goes horribly wrong and you give it all up to become a private detective who works for the Yakuza, which is a little weird. But yeah, you start getting roped into...
Right, so you're like their cop liaison, like go find out what the cops know about this type of thing?
But you also work with the cops and you actually do help investigate cases that...
It's a bit like Sleeping Dogs.
It is a little bit, but there's actual like this. So people have called this like the best detective game ever.
Right.
And I can understand why. There's like this genuine like clue stuff and interviewing and like you got to pick the right words. It's sort of like L.A. Noir, but not shit.
Cool.
It's more of just like deducing which sentences you need to say rather than using dodgy facial mechanics to try and interpret. Right.
They were pretty good at the time. I'll hear some bad shit about L.A. Noir, but the quality of their weird gurning faces.
Did you think it lined up though?
I thought
it was only detailed.
It seemed like the actors were overacting because of the nature of how they were being told to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the impression I got from L.A. Noir because they were really over the top. And yes. I assume that when they were doing it, they're like,
we need to see the wrinkles in your face.
Exactly. We really need to. It's all based on the face, so really go for it. So every character in L.A. Noir is like mouth open, hands to their side of their face. Macaulay Culkin style, like, what?
Yes.
I saw a video the other day of one of the voice actors from The Lion King, the original one.
Right.
Doing voices of lions, and he's got this like trash can in the booth with him, and he's like, it's insane to watch because he's like able to just like vocally do these like pitch perfect like lion roars.
Yeah.
And it's him doing it like into the trash can to, I guess, get more echo, like whatever the effect, and like really going for it. And then like the camera kind of pans out and they've got the animators sitting there kind of observing him, sort of like trying to write down like what his face is doing. But just this man going absolutely bonkers in a sound booth and then two animators watching him going, yes, very interesting. It's like you're watching a full-on psychotic breakdown at the moment.
I knew about this because in the original cut of The Lion King, every lion is holding a trash can. I don't know if you remember that from the theatrical version.
Yeah. No, I remember that. I can vouch for that.
But there's, yeah, there's sort of personary elements to this as well, where it's like you got to eat, you got to you can get like little things for your apartment. And yeah, I haven't played heaps of it yet, but it's cool.
I really want to get through it before I go overseas in like a month.
Adam, what I would like to ask you is, how does one get in a position where the disc is inside the machine, but still none of it has been played?
Yeah, what did you do after you put the disc in?
Because
what happened?
You put it in and you're like, here we go. And then you remember, ah, fuck, it's got to download some patches. Oh, yeah, it's got to install. Okay. Then life takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And you
life
know,
gets in the way.
You end up waking up with a thin piece of silk around your neck and a headache that you've choked yourself out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The number of times, and this legit, I'm not taking the piss, this legitimately is a thing I've done.
Yeah.
Just been fucking around the house at night and gone, oh, yeah, I was going to watch a movie 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, I sat down with all intents and then went, oh, actually, I need to go to the bathroom, and then get a text while I'm
and you
in
do
there.
Your fucking laundry and you know, it's just shit starts happening and then you're like, oh, I've only got 3 hours before I'll go to sleep and I don't want to start then.
Wow.
Because I probably want to play about 4 hours of, but you know what I mean. I mean a crazy amount of time that you could fill.
Yeah.
But I often have that amount of time. I'm like, no, I need more time than that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. I've been having that feeling about this game because I was remembering with Persona, and I was wondering how the fuck did I play that game enough to get into it, to learn how the rhythms worked. And this feels like it's going to be the same thing. That Persona, I had like 2 weeks off from work. It was like over summer or something.
See, that's what I'm a little conscious of as well, is I kind of want 2 days back to back with nothing to do so that I can properly honk it.
Yeah, well, I've had a taste and I really... It's a yummy taste.
Yummy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's
leave the gap again.
But I feel like I need a lot longer to actually get into this game to appreciate it.
I think I've got a little bit of spare time coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully 2 episodes from now I'll be able, or like, I don't know.
It looks cool. A lot of sponsored ads for it have been coming up on my site. I didn't know anything about it until you mentioned it last week.
Yeah,
and
neither did I.
Ads, it looks great.
If
you haven't played any of the Yakuza games, it looks beautiful. It's a very detailed yet sort of microcosm version of Tokyo. It's a fake suburb that's a takeoff of, I think, Kabukicho in Shinjuku. So it's sort of like the red light district. It's incredible looking.
I'm going to make some time. Fuck it. This is my job. I'm going to make some time to play this video game
and
before
boys,
next
get out.
Week.
Put the disc back in, Tommy.
Crash your car again on the way out because I need to be alone.
I have had a fair bit of spare time in the past week to play games, but I've been spending it playing a different game.
Oh, baby. Oh,
is it? now, if this game were to be...
He actually jumped.
One of the games that maybe it could be that I think you've been playing, it must be the one that you've talked about in the past that I would be able to tell you immediately.
Yeah.
But I'm just filling in this sentence with unnecessary words because I choose to, not because... would it be The House in Fata Morgana, Dream of the Revenants Edition?
The House in Fata Morgana and edit...
I barely know her. There we go.
They must only serve beans in that house.
Or would it be Dumb Fuckhead Game for Big Idiots?
Ooh,
yes.
It was actually Super Mario Maker 2. Super Mario Maker 2 released a week ago by the Nintendo Company of Japan.
Yeah, I have also... used some of the spare time I have to dive into this.
Yes.
But I nearly said jive into this because fuck me, this is a good game.
Oh, it's a good ass time.
It is probably my game of the year so far.
Wow. It's so fucking
fun. I agree with
fun.
That even though I put a thing in, did we talk about this? I put a thing in our Patreon group about like what's been your game of the year. We're halfway through the year.
Yeah.
And admittedly, I haven't dipped in on a couple of the big boys, but I have found
neither
myself...
Neither of you... Some of you guys out here haven't played the Outer Wilds, and it shows.
Yeah.
That's a tweet I saw earlier.
Sekiro would be up a lot of top people's lists, I guess. But I've been pretty... There's been a couple of things that I've enjoyed, but there hasn't been that like big monster that's really gotten me. And this probably is, in terms of like time spent... will be that.
Yes.
Because it is such a great package.
Yep.
There's so much in it, even though it is a bit weird in the sense that it's not this like all-encompassing big game with a big story or like there is lots of stuff to do, but it's still on a weird enough scale that it feels quite small, even though it is really big, if that makes sense.
Well, it's like it's a bunch of games in a way.
Totally. Yeah. Every individual level is not going to last you that long, unless it's like one of those deliberately really hard ones and you're like repeating it for hours. But
yeah, so quickly, like, and it seems insane to talk about, there is so much in this game. It seems crazy to talk about like, here's something I hope they add, or like to say like, oh, this should be in it. I think it would be cool if they added some kind of overworld map editor.
Yes.
The idea that people could go, hey, I've made
an adventure.
I've made a 10-level thing, and then you could sit and feel like you're playing through an actual little experience rather than just, well, I finished that one. Time to put a new code in.
I guess if people don't know as well, we should say Super Mario Maker 2, obviously sequel to Super Mario Maker, and the whole idea of the game is you have a big tile set that you can use to paint in 2D Mario levels. There's so many different little options.
Yeah.
And the idea is that people make them, you go online, you play theirs, you make one, other people play yours.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a single player too and that sort of stuff. But
you have to be able to complete your own level to upload it is the key element of it.
Yeah, they're all finishable.
Yes.
They're all... Yep. So there's some quality control there, kind of.
Mm.
But
who put a thing up on our page of... a guy on Twitter who's made this completely fucked level in the first one.
Yes.
And has been trying to clear it in order to be able to upload it for like 28,000 hours or something. He's just been logging how long it's like taking him to do. Where it's like, here I go for my daily 3 hours of attempting to finish this nightmare level I made.
How does he know that it is finishable then? I guess he must have done small chunks of it at a time and gone like, I can do this bit, I can do that bit.
Because you can test it in the maker without
drop in
you can drop in and out.
Which, if you're just great at platformers and you just want like the ultimate challenge, making that kind of thing just for yourself, and that being the challenge of like, I have to clear this so I can upload it, that's actually not bad.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I guess so, but like the main thrust is other people have made these levels.
Yeah,
for
of course.
You.
Yeah,
yes, and the creativity that is being shown by people who aren't game developers.
Yeah.
There is so much more stuff in this one than in the first game, like significant stuff.
Right.
Because the first game, I think we talked about on the first episode of this podcast.
Probably
we
did,
And it had all the basic Mario stuff and it had lots of really cool shit that you could do. I really liked that first game.
Mm.
But this one has really significant new things that change what you're able to do enormously, like the red coins and the keys and that
sort of stuff. Clear conditions and stuff, so making it your level, like you can't get to the end unless you've killed 5 Goombas or whatever it is.
All the bits and pieces they've added have expanded the scope way more than you would think like 5 or 6 editions would do. And people are already using them really close. The on-off switches for the red and blue blocks, that sort of stuff. It's made it way better.
Right.
So the story mode in this, which is new from the first one, is just a little overworldy thing, but it's very kind of simplistic.
Yeah.
Just way of having 100 levels in it that Nintendo have developed. And they're fantastic.
They're sort of developed as to give you an idea of what to do with each of the tools.
Yeah. Mm. But they're so creative and they're so fun in a way that my criticism of the new Super Mario Brothers games is that they're often pretty lacking in imagination. They're good levels, but there's not that much kind of wilding out with them. And some of the stuff, even in the first 5 levels in this story mode, it's like, this is the shit I wish they did more in that. There's some really great ideas in it. They're really fun, like them just having their own toolbox and going like, okay, we've got to show people the kind of silly things that you can do. So there's all these like great clear conditions ones. There's lots of on-off switch ones early on. They range in – there's one where you have to finish the level without having jumped.
Yes.
So, and then there's all these cranes in there that are trying to pick you up, and you have to like be smart about, there'll be a platform above you and you have to wait for a thing to kind of come up from above and like carry you up to it. The story mode is really great, and I've seen a lot of stuff online of people going, oh, I don't know whether to get this because I don't know whether I'll spend any time making the levels. Even if you're not interested in making them, there's still so much to do in it just playing other people's levels.
There is an almost infinite amount
and,
to do.
Yeah, and playing the story mode levels.
I haven't made a single level yet and I do not care
to
just yet.
But the other thing I would say about the the course maker is that even if you think that you're not going to be interested in making levels or that it's too overwhelming or you won't want to do it, you're actually wrong. Like it's such a well-designed editor, because I remember thinking that about the first one. Like, I'm never going to end up making levels. And then you go, oh, I'll just see what this is. And it's all just laid out in such a great, simple way that you
very quickly discover little things that you want to try out, and then that turns into an idea, and then that turns into you refining the idea, and that loop, speaking from doing it in the first one, is really fun.
Yeah.
Coming up with an idea that you're like, fuck, I haven't seen this before.
Totally.
Is cool. And even just simple ones, it is built in a way that does make the act of coming up with those levels innately fun.
Mm. It's so less overwhelming building it than you think it's going to be.
Yes.
Yeah. I get looking at it from the outside and going like, oh, there's too much. And it's got like a lot of really nice little tutorials in it where it talks you through all the different bits and how to use them. And they've got a lot of stuff in there of giving you tips about how to actually make a good level and how to make it interesting. And
does this one have the bullshit thing from the first one of unlocking all the pieces slowly over
time?
No,
it's got them all from the get-go.
Of course it should.
So I didn't play the first one. I think I mucked around with it at your place once, Tommy, and found it very overwhelming. And with this one coming out, I was like, do I need a stylus? Am I going to have to do it on the screen itself? I'm not going to want to do that. That seems awkward. And just loading it up for the first time and going into the maker, it is so easy. It's so intuitive.
With the controller.
It's so fun. With the controller.
Okay.
You just have to do it for 20 minutes and then it's like, oh, no, I've got all the shortcuts. I've got all the buttons in my, you know, just memorized now.
Yeah, that's surprising.
It's really easy.
That's not as bad as I thought it was. I thought that was going to be a real drop. And it definitely, using it on the gamepad was very different and very, very easy.
Right.
But I haven't found using the controller to be that bad. Like I did a bit on the controller and then I was playing it in handheld mode. And because I'd sort of gotten used to the controller at that point, I actually found using the touchscreen to kind of be harder. Because I was like, no, I kind of know how the controller works now.
That's funny, because with the Wii U one, I would have spat in your fucking face if you'd have told me I'd have to use a controller to make level.
Because I'm just finding also flipping between immediately testing it out as, you know, playing the level, flipping back to making it. It makes sense to me to do it that way.
I don't believe you.
I've had the thing of like initially just like, I don't know how to make a level. I'm not a games designer. And just mucking around with a bunch of stuff, feeling like I had to make it harder and harder.
Right.
And it turning out to be a very difficult level that I made.
Your first one you made was brutal.
I did not think it was going to be hard at all.
And not that feeling of not knowing what to do, whatever. You can drop in and out of testing it and making it so easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one button.
Again, this is from the first one. And it just loads up instantly.
Yeah. Totally.
That if you have an idea and you try and you're like, oh fuck, that doesn't work, the feeling of wanting to figure that puzzle that you've made for yourself out.
Yeah.
And it isn't the sort of sandbox Minecrafty thing where you've got to make your own fun, which isn't appealing really often. It is designed in such a way, weirdly somehow, and I don't understand how.
I think it's just because we've been raised by video games.
Maybe it's the fact that it's Mario. Yeah,
an element of that is embedded in our way of thinking in terms of design.
But just immediately coming up with this idea, like you see how one of the objects behaves, and it gives you some idea of how to use it or how you want to test it out. Then once that's there, you build this level around that idea that it's really fun.
Yeah. Mm. I've had a really specific idea inspired by one of the story mode courses and I was like, oh, this would be great. Yeah, it'll be this. And it's taking me ages because it's like stuff just doesn't behave how I think it's got. Like I'll drop an enemy in and go, my idea is to have you, because you one of the tools you can use is a little flying clown car that Bowser Jr.'s in, and it shoots fireballs out. So I'm trying to make like a side-scrolling flying shooting level. I was like, yeah, I'll have lots of enemies kind of in the air with the wings kind of coming at you, but quite often certain enemies I'm putting them in and then they just drop into the ocean. So it's like, fuck, well, okay, I guess I've got to put them on platforms, but then a lot of the times they walk off the edge of the platform, so I'm having to like kind of find ways to still make it interesting and challenging. And then I thought, oh, I'll put coins in that you have to get five of on your way through in order to clear it.
Yeah.
So then I'll kind of have them hidden in little clusters where you've kind of got to get in and like shoot all the enemies out to get to the coins. Just things like that where it's like stuff, constantly on the fly.
It
like it's changed
this,
so much from what I had in my head.
Mm.
But that challenge in itself of like getting this thing to behave in the way that you want it to behave becomes a game in itself. Like that challenge of like, okay, it's all here. It's not trying to fuck me over. Mm. It's like it is doable. You can do pretty much anything that you can think of in this game.
Especially once you've seen a few examples when you go online, especially. Like the top ones in this, they're not the auto run levels yet, yeah. at least, yeah, which is fucking yeah. a relief. And
although there are auto run levels in, there's an endless mode right. where it just serves you up curated, random,
yeah.
user created.
Are they
courses.
Curated or are they random?
I thought there was some sort of curation to it.
Or they're just like the highest rated or whatever.
Maybe, yeah. yeah. But there are some auto run levels within that, which seemed very odd to me.
Right. Well, I guess people are they were very popular in the first one, so I'm assuming yeah. people are just making them really quick now.
Yeah,
but there is like a tagging system with the online yes. search yeah. now where you can search for auto run or for like difficult or for whatever, speed a run. Whole bunch of different tags.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can That's follow people, which I don't think you could do in the first one.
You I think can you kind can of follow use like creators. Okay. Yeah.
Right. The endless challenge is a really fun
yeah.
mode. So it's go as long as you can. You get a limited number of lives and it just like keeps serving up levels to you. And it's like, yeah, just how many levels can you get under your belt yeah. before you come up against
one. You get a little ranky. I'm in the top 82,000 at the moment.
Wow.
About 30 in a row. So, but I have found that incredibly addictive. I yeah. played it for like half an hour straight before coming here.
Right.
I didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah, right.
I was seeing the top ranking levels. I've been going through them mm-hmm. mostly. And there's some fucking cool stuff in there. There was like a recreation of the Deku Tree dungeon from the Ocarina of Time.
Oh wow.
And it's really fucking cleverly done. You have to get items to progress through the thing.
Sick.
There's,
yeah, I haven't done any of them yet.
Self-destruct, which is it's not auto run. You've still got to like jump and stuff and sort of make certain levels, but there's like a huge exploding thing coming after you the whole time. So it's like got to constantly keep moving forward, hit switches.
There's like some coins to kind of guide you where to jump.
Yes. There's a table tennis.
Yeah, that one's fucking awesome.
I haven't done any of these yet.
It's so smart.
You're like headbutting, you're jumping up and headbutting a fucking big, tall one of the shooter cannons.
Yep.
And then there's another one over the other side and it shoots out a shell that will break blocks on either side if it gets through.
Mm.
And that's the ping pong ball. So if it gets through and knocks three blocks out, either you die or you get to progress through the wall.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's so fucking clever.
Really
that's
smart.
Great.
Yeah.
There's
you see some of that stuff and it does inspire you to try something similar that it makes you think of.
Yeah.
That just the way they've been able to make to, I guess, rein in your options enough, but to give you big enough ones that creativity comes naturally out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not. Yeah. It doesn't feel like you're looking at a blank fucking page with a cursor blinking.
Yes.
Like a empty Word document when you're making a level.
Yeah.
As long as you've played a couple, there's some ideas in your head already and you put one thing in there and then expand on it.
Well, that's always it. It's like you put in one thing or you go, I'm going to use a bouncy note block. And then it's like, well, what happens if I put three in a row or if I have a big gap here? Mm. Like you just start to unfold.
Yeah.
That was a lot of the stuff I found very fun in the first one that's back in this is like being able to drag items onto other items and then see how that changes.
Yes.
You can then, if you hold the cursor over an item or an enemy, it comes up with a bunch of options of different things. So like Weakler, for example, you can have him the default. He's, you know, you can make him start off as like the angry Weakler or like, wings for most things, like stuff like that.
The word Wiggler's really funny. I just started laughing because of Wiggler.
Yeah. I noticed a guy, one of our patrons, had like three levels that are Wiggler themed.
Great.
He likes it too.
Yeah.
You are more than welcome in my community, sir.
Well, it made me think of, do you remember this when we played Mario Party and there's a game on it, Don't Wake Wiggler?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was good at not waking Wiggler.
You were not waking Wiggler like an absolute champ.
Let Wiggler sleep. The other aspect... Oh, sorry, were you going to finish a thought?
I was going to quickly just say off the back of what you just mentioned, Ben, having a little thread in our Patreon group for people that are in there has been really fun.
Yes.
Like actually having a bit of a community to share levels with this one as opposed to the first one has been really enjoyable.
Yep.
And maybe a bit of an ad for anyone. If you get on the $5 tier, if you're playing this game and you're not in there, get in because it's a great way to share levels.
Yeah.
So there's one guy who's made like, I think he's been spending every waking hour making levels. He's made so many and they're all great.
Yeah, that's Matt. He's he's really good at them as well.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, your lifestyle isn't leave a game in your PS4 for a week and not have time to play it. I get it.
But he, I think, must be very good at platforming because they're all quite hard levels as well. I've found them very challenging.
A lot of Mario Maker levels do tend to skew towards the harder side, which is...
I want to make a point of making a... just a creative level.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've been falling into like, oh, well, the challenge has to be that it's difficult, not that you have to figure it out or be smart about it.
The ones that are puzzles, though, are pretty fun. When it's not based on your platforming ability but based on your problem-solving ability, it's cool that you can do all of this different stuff in the one machine as well.
Yeah.
Same options from the first to back in terms of backgrounds with 1-3 World and the new Super Mario Brothers skins.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then there's Super Mario 3D World turned into a 2D scrolling thing. And it works really well.
Yep.
It looks great. There's some unique items to that. You can't swap it between those ones because I guess those items didn't play well with the others. So they segregated it there. I hope they do more.
Mm.
It would be really cool if they add some DLC, like chuck a 2D version of Mario 64 in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Chuck everything in.
Yeah.
Make this the greatest summer of our lives.
That is... I mean, I haven't really noticed it lacking things because...
There's so much in there.
Yeah, there's so much in there. I'm relatively early on. I've only made two levels. But it would be great if it had everything.
Just keep chucking in. Even visual stuff just is cool to have all that sort of thing in there.
I would love if they put in... because so you can freely, when you're building a level, switch between... the main four themes, you can just hit a button and like the visual just changes.
1-3 World and new.
Yes. Yep. But then 3D World is in its own thing where if you try and switch into that when you're making a level, it goes, well, you're going to have to lose everything because this is a unique set of items and stuff that don't translate over. So with that in mind, it would be great if they put the Western version of Mario 2 in there.
For sure.
Because that game behaves so differently that once it's been out for a few months, if they put that in there, that's like a whole new game. Totally new thing.
Pay for that as DLC. If that was, you know, like
$10,
$9, I would buy it.
$10, $9, give it to me for less.
$7.
Whatever the cheapest you could do for me on that Mario DLC. There's so many fucking levels out there. It's a little easy to search. One annoying thing that will come up down the track, you can have 32 out at any one time.
Oh, yeah.
That is your
own, you can obviously save more locally.
Yeah.
You can only publish 32 of your own.
I dare say they'll expand that with time.
We'll see.
Well, so a lot has been said about the online, the sharing being a bit classic Nintendo, which I have to say...
It's still not quite there yet. It's better than the first, but it's
I mean, people sharing the codes for their levels in our group and then just getting on and typing in a 9-digit code, I haven't found it to be that... troublesome. It's fine. It's fine.
We have the benefit of having that group to do it with.
Yeah.
Though.
Yes.
Yes. We have our own community.
But
online.
Then, what I was thinking about, I was talking to you about this, Ben.
Yeah.
Then I remembered that there's that Switch Online app that they launched with the service. It's like to not be using that for this is insane.
Yeah. Yes.
Like I finally have something that would really, really benefit from it.
Well, I hadn't got the online service until this game, so I hadn't had the app. And I put in our group, I was sitting at work going, oh, I made these two courses. I wonder how they're going. Is there a way to find out sitting here at work? I'll get the online app. And there's nothing in it. It does nothing.
It is. They've fucked that app so hard. It's so stupid.
Do I remember them saying something about a website in one of the directs early on that you could look at stuff from
outside of the game? I don't know if it was for Mario Maker or was it just for the online?
I don't remember.
Someone put in a group that they did do that for the first one. But they did it down the line.
Right.
Like after it was, you know, it'd been out for a little while and there's heaps out there. They're like, okay, here's a easier way of cataloging it, which they did end up putting in a bit of DLC and kind of had a bit of ongoing support for Mario Maker 1, and that was at a time when they didn't really do DLC, and it was also a game that was out on an essentially dead console by then.
Yeah.
That I'm pretty confident that they will, and this will be such a big game that I can see them really having a lot of ongoing support with this and like continually. And even just when you go into the maker thing with the themes, the way it's all laid out, the like next to where the 3D World button is, there's just an empty space there.
There is.
So it's like there has to be another theme coming. Like there's a little gap there just waiting for something to be put in.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, if they – Get that app fired up and make it easier for people. Because you're right, we do have the benefit of being able to find it easily through people that we know or want to connect with in any way.
And totally. The searching and the filtering stuff in the game is better than in the first one.
Yep.
But yeah, it's it'd be great to be able to be really specific with that stuff and just to have the best way possible of being able to see it. And yeah, the app thing is cool to be able to be at work, have 5 minutes and go, oh, look for a couple of levels I might want to play later.
Yep.
Save it in there. That would be nice.
Yep. And because people can comment on the levels you've made, you can see where people have failed.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, okay, that's very interesting. Or that's worked, you know, that or I fucked up. That's way too hard there.
Yep.
All of that stuff is like really polished elements to this game that make it more than just a level builder.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's like, I remember when the first one was coming out thinking like finding it hard to get excited for because it's like this is just a utility.
Right.
This isn't a game.
Right.
But then once you're in it and there was a thing on the Kane and Rince Twitter where they were talking about how none of them are interested in making levels. Mm-hmm. So they refer to it as Infinite Mario,
right,
which is just what it essentially is.
Totally.
And it's almost like in the marketing of going – anyone can make levels now. I do feel like, because like I said earlier, we've seen a lot of people going like, nah, I don't want to make, I'm sitting this one out. It's like, I do feel like they are, even though I'm sure it'll sell heaps, like they are kind of, I think, missing out on a few people that are sort of just viewing it as like, oh, this is just an app.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Yes, I completely agree.
Even the name
Mario Maker
is like.
But all you need is like a 10-second segment of an ad that's like, and you can play any level.
I mean, they've had that stuff in the direct, but yeah, I guess so. But they
but then word gets out, and people, you know, those people that are sitting it out will sort of go, oh yeah, okay, it's worth having a little try of.
Well, it's already sold like double what the original game sold in its lifetime. So
I forgot how much I loved being in the editor and the way that when you drop in and out. When you drop in and out of editing, the music changes into this kind of, the editing mode has this kind of like subdued sort
like
of version.
Electronic
of the,
just kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. And
a
then,
Sunday sesh version.
Oh boy.
When you place pieces, there's a little voice that says what the name of the piece is in tune with the music that's playing. Just all these nice little details, like you can pick Mario up and move him around the screen and he starts kind of moving under the cursor. I did this by accident, but if you get the eraser and go to use it on him, he kind of ducks down under his hat.
There's
and he starts crying. He goes, "Whoa!" Just little things like that, which are just make it, you're not just like slogging through an app going, oh, I've got to get this level done. It's enjoyable to sit and just, you know, make stuff.
Totally. Yeah.
It's a great game. I hope there's more of it down the line.
Yeah.
Apart from the infinite amount of it that is already contained in there. All right.
Yeah. Get on it, guys.
That's all I've been doing this week. So.
And get in there. Yeah. It's $5 a month. Get in and share some levels if you've got them. Maybe that sways you.
I definitely think that having not so much, because we haven't met in person a lot of the people in our Patreon group, but just having a person, knowing that this person who I know in some sort of way has made this and it's their creativity and their ideas adds an extra element to playing the levels.
Yeah.
You can just smack through a bunch of the random ones or the top rated ones and be like, yeah, okay, tick, 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 or no, I'm going to exit that. I'm not liking this one. But having that personal element added to it as well makes it more interesting.
I made a point the day after it was out, like when the thread had got a bit of traction, of like going through one by one and playing all the levels that were in there at the time. And it was really satisfying.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
And like as soon as you've got the first course that someone's made, then you can follow them as a creator and you can just always play the next one that they've come up with, which is, I think, a benefit of having an existing online community.
Because you're
just like, all right, here's 20 people that I'm definitely going to play their levels.
So there'll be 60 new levels waiting for me when I get home from Matt.
Yes.
That he's churned out while we've been recording.
Yeah.
Just what you touched on it very briefly before, the putting a level up and then when you get back on, you see how many people have played it. And because it just goes into the mix of randomly being able to be found by people, it's really high. Like it'll just be this massive number of people and you see these like random comments and you get to see the ratio of how many people were able to finish the level.
Yep.
It's really satisfying.
It really, really is.
I got a bit giddy. I was like, this many people have played it?
It's like doing a funny tweet or something.
Yeah.
You see the likes, you see people replying. It's like, it's people engaging with something you made.
Yeah.
We should mention as well, you can put like little comments in the levels and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like there's heaps and heaps of shit to do. It's such a good game.
Yeah. That is us done for another week, folks. Thank you very much for listening. Get on
to live shows.
Live shows, yeah. Yes. June, July.
We're giving you plenty of notice.
What fucking month is it?
Yeah.
Too many months to start with J, in my opinion.
Well,
okay. Fuck Three. Off one of them at least.
Honestly, June or July should change. Probably July.
Just and they shouldn't be next to each other.
No. Just no, make, exactly.
Call it, what, combine June and July, what would that be? Just call it July. Have a 60-day month.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah. Get over
30
it. Grow
days
up.
Has September, April, May, and November. April, June, and November. Well, no, that doesn't work June anymore. 30 days anymore. Has September, April, and November. All the rest have 31, except for February, which has 28.
And July.
And July, which is the longest winter month in Australia, and it's awful.
Yes.
And everyone has a terrible time.
Much better.
I liked it a lot.
Also, on a leap year, it adds 1,000 days to July.
Okay. Anyway, live shows July 13th in Melbourne, 21st in Sydney. Tickets available, filthycasuals.com.
Yep.
.au, two-hour shows, live stand-up comedy podcast.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to meeting the filth out there.
Oh, yeah.
Get on the Patreon if you want to support the show. You can get an extra episode of this every week.
Mm.
Guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
And then we'll have edited our recording in later on, right?
Very nice.
Yes.
Very good. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.